All day long, we do the searching, the editing, the filtering. We find the good stuff, add some opinion, and call it Sportsnet 960 Headlines.
The Calgary Flames game day. I'm sure they will be featured along with the latest in sports as we kick off hour three, like we always do on this program. It's time for Big Show Headlines. My name is Will Nault. He is Logan Gordon. And Big Show Headlines, as always, brought to you by Hyatt Infinity. Finance or lease a 2021 QX50 and get a no-charge prepaid maintenance from Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road, on Luxury Lane. With today's headlines, we say good afternoon to Logan Gordon. Logo, what is making news, sir?
Well, of course, we'll start with the Calgary Flames game day tonight at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. The Florida Panthers roll into town to play the Flames at 7 o'clock tonight, fresh off a 9-2 win against the Columbus Blue Jackets on Saturday. Florida has won four in a row and is 8-0-1 since December 29th, averaging 6 goals per game and 2.56 goals against in that stretch. The Panthers have the best points percentage in the NHL and have scored at least 5 goals in 7 of their past 9 games. Of course, this also marks the return of Sam Bennett to Calgary for the first time since the Flames traded him to the Panthers back on April 12th last year. Bennett has 9 points in his past 5 games, and his 15 goals are tied for second on the Panthers behind Anthony Duclair. Here's Johnny Gaudreau, former teammate with Sam Bennett. Happy to see the success he's having in Florida.
You know, he had a fresh new start in Florida, and he's playing well, so good for him. Like you said, I was, you know, pretty close with him the past 7-8 years we played together, so it's going to be fun to get a chance to play against him.
As for the Flames, things not going well for them of late. They've lost 4 straight and have been outscored 20-7 by the Sens, Hurricanes, Lightning, and these Florida Panthers. They are 2-7-1 since December 5th. Blake Coleman says it's a perfect time to stop the skid against an elite Panthers team.
Obviously, it goes without saying how important it is that we start to pile on some wins here. You know, we do have some games in hand, which only benefits you if you start winning games. So, you know, we know the urgency is, you know, now, and we know that we need to have a better showing than we did last game. And, you know, it's tough when you're not able to get into a rhythm and you're just constantly practicing, but you know, we've definitely practiced hard and they've been competitive and you know, a lot of conditioning and skating, and so there should be no excuse come game time tonight. You know, and I think you know, there's no better way to get in the win column than against a great team.
It is certainly a good team the Flames will play tonight. Will Sam Bennett's return to Calgary with the Red Hot Panthers at the Saddle Dome tonight.
And Red Hot is an understatement. 8-0-1 their last 9 games. They've averaged 6 goals, 4 in each of those 9 games. They've outscored their opponents 54-23. Jonathan Huberdeau is having quite a season, and the Panthers even better, at least a stronger lineup on paper than what the Flames saw earlier this month. Sam Reinhart and Sam Bennett both playing in this contest tonight. I know Lou said it earlier. I'm sure you're probably in agreement as well. I think Sam Bennett is going to be super fired up to play in this game tonight. You know, from a Flames fan standpoint, you're probably hoping he's too hyped up and that results in maybe a couple of bad penalties and puts the Flames on the power play. But excited to see what he does against his former team. And Calgary is kind of the complete opposite of Florida. As I mentioned, how red hot Florida's been, especially offensively. Well, Calgary, they've lost 4 in a row. 8 of their last 10 games, and in their last 4 specifically, they've been outscored by their opponents 20-7. They have scored just 7 goals their last 4 games. And early on in the season, we talked about how this team was maybe better offensively than what we expected. Well, they've come crashing back down to earth. A big part of that has been their lack of success on the power play. If they get the man advantage tonight, we'll see if it's more effective than what we've seen the last month or so. Because you need the power play to beat good teams like the Florida Panthers. So a big, big test for the Flames, and it is not easy as they've got both Reinhart and Bennett in the lineup. They didn't have that in a 6-2 loss in Florida earlier this month.
7 o'clock puck drop tonight means a 6 p.m. Flames warm-up with Pat Steinberg and Peter Labardius right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Derek Wills and Lou call the Flames and the Panthers right here at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 960. You can also watch this one, Sportsnet West and Sportsnet 1. If I didn't mention it earlier, Pat had this. Jacob Markstrom does get the start in goal for the Calgary Flames. It's a busy night on the NHL schedule away from the Panthers and the Flames. Will, let's start with the Bruins and the Carolina Hurricanes. This one's going to be a special night as the Bruins retire Willie O'Ree's number 22 before they host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at TD Garden. The ceremony will come on the 64th anniversary of O'Ree becoming the first black player in the NHL when he debuted against the Montreal Canadiens on January 18th of 1958. Being 86 years old, he's going to participate virtually from his home in San Diego, just out of an abundance of caution to avoid the risks of traveling. Afterwards, the Bruins put their five-game winning streak on the line against the Hurricanes, who are 10-2-1 in their past 13. And I'm not sure if you've seen it today, Will, but there's been some back and forth between Vinny Trocheck and Brad Marchand. They've had a little bit of a spat. Brad Marchand not exactly pleased to be compared to Vinny Trocheck earlier today. He said, quote, "That's like comparing a Lambo to a Prius," end quote. A very important pregame ceremony, and then maybe some fireworks on the ice between the Bruins and the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I mean, social media is what it is. I mean, Brad Marchand chirping somebody, it's not surprising at all. I don't get the comparisons myself. I know that that was just a quote that Trocheck made to Hurricanes beat writer Chip Alexander. But yeah, certainly Marchand and Trocheck, two completely different players. And, you know, as for what's going to happen on the ice, we've talked about the Bruins a lot, it feels like, the last couple of weeks. And they're a team that, you know, started out the season kind of slow because they played less games than a lot of teams around them. But all of a sudden, a team that's won five in a row, eight of their last 10. And I think if you would have asked me like 3 weeks ago, Logan, I probably would have said there was no chance the Boston Bruins could catch any of those teams in the top three in the Atlantic. But, you know, now just 5 points back of Toronto and five games in hand on a team like Tampa, who they trail by just 11 points. I don't think it's crazy to suggest the Boston Bruins could be in that conversation, as it feels like, based on the time of the year in January where we should be, it doesn't feel like these teams are below the 40-game threshold, but they are, which means the Bruins have a lot of time to catch a team like Toronto. So I certainly am not sleeping on them. The return of Tuukka Rask is probably a big one inside that dressing room, and curious to see how they do tonight against the team that's been, you know, red hot from start to finish of this season in the Carolina Hurricanes. So that should be a very, very fun game to watch tonight, and you can do so on Sportsnet East beginning at 5 o'clock.
Also, out on the West Coast, Nikita Kucherov will look to extend his point streak to four games when Tampa Bay takes on the LA Kings tonight. The 28-year-old was named the NHL's third star of the week Monday after scoring 7 points in three games, including his fourth hat trick in Tampa's 6-1 win over Buffalo on the 11th. Kucherov has just a quick 9 points in five games after being out nearly 3 months with a lower body injury. Kingsville had their four-game winning streak snapped with a 6-2 loss to San Jose yesterday. You'll remember them trying to tighten up defensively after they gave up five to Timo Meier and the Sharks.
Maybe five for Kucherov tonight? Is that what you're saying?
If you're going to play like that defensively, yeah, he could probably score that many.
Man, Tampa's crazy. And when you talk about Kucherov, you know, we always talk about long layoffs from injuries. Well, apparently Kucherov is just masterful at it. I know last year in the playoffs, he skated for a bit in the final three weeks or a month before the end of the season, and then came back in the playoffs and had 32 points in 23 games. And then this year, as you mentioned, red hot lately, and in total has 13 points in 8 games this season. So has barely played, but looks like he has not missed a beat. And man, that Tampa team is still looking very strong, despite the fact they've lost a lot of bodies. And you know, not very often do we see teams even in the conversation to be three-time Stanley Cup champions. Certainly not in the salary cap era. But man, they're a really, really good hockey team. And not going to get any easier for the LA Kings. They got beat up like that a couple of nights ago against San Jose, who certainly is not at Tampa's level. And now you've got a test against Tampa. Not a good spot to be in, but also a nice opportunity for a bit of a gut check after you were handed your lunch in that game yesterday.
Some other teams that were in action yesterday and are back at it today. Flyers Islanders finishing up a home and home after the Islanders took it to the Flyers yesterday.
Grabbed there by Bailey, fresh out of the penalty box. To Nelson in the high slot. Brock shoots, scores! Oh, there's that wicked wrist shot from Brock Nelson. He's got his team leading 11th of the season, and the Islanders break the scoreless tie, make it 1-0 just past midpoint of period two.
Yes, that the first goal in a 4-1 win for the Islanders yesterday that handed the Flyers their eighth straight loss, now 0-6-2 in their last eight. Will, Islanders heading in the other direction. They look like they're trying to figure things out. They're 5-1-1 in their past seven. So it turns out Mike Yeo, not the savior and maybe not the answer as the full-time head coach of the Flyers. Things have gone poorly all year in Philly.
You think Alain Vigneault has been sitting back with like popcorn watching their games? Like a bit of obviously vindication for him because, I don't think it was a coaching issue in Philly. And they got some more bad news today. Kevin Hayes is going to be out again for another 3 to 4 weeks. So a team that has been just kind of there and definitely playing well below expectations going into the season. I don't think Mike Yeo was the answer or is the answer to their issues. And as for the Islanders, it just hasn't been the season we expected from them either after back-to-back Eastern Conference final appearances. Yes, they've got, you know, maybe 6 or 7 games in hand on almost everybody in their division, but that's way too deep a hole. And we haven't talked much about this, Logan. We probably will get to it at some point for sure, you know, next week, if not this week. It sure feels like all due respect to the Detroit Red Wings, who have 41 points and 5 points back of Boston. It sure feels like, you know, we're not even at game 41 and all 8 seeds in the Eastern Conference are spoken for. I don't think we're seeing any of those 8 being displaced because Columbus, I don't see a run in them. And as I said, I don't think Detroit is going to be a team that ends up in the playoffs. So all of it, like, we're not even at game 41, and there's going to be no drama in the Eastern Conference playoff race. Maybe that finally will give us some juice come the deadline, but it sure feels like we've got all 8 seeds spoken for in the East.
Something to keep an eye on as we continue on this NHL season. Other games on the sked tonight. Sabres at Senators at 5 o'clock. It's the Jets and Capitals also going at 5. Canucks Predators will go at 6 o'clock. Canucks coming off a 4-2 win against the Capitals on Sunday. And last game to talk about, the Habs at the Dallas Stars. Now, this not exactly a huge meeting, Will, because Montreal has been so poor, 7-25-5 on the year, but they have a new GM to impress starting tonight, and that's Kent Hughes, as he was named as the club's 18th general manager in franchise history today, signing a 5-year contract. He's a Montreal native, primarily working in the NHL as a player agent. His current roster of over 20 clients includes the names of Patrice Bergeron, Chris Letang, and Darnell Nurse. Began his career as an agent representing Vinny LeCavalier in 1998. And Canadiens owner Jeff Molson, who's expected to speak tomorrow with the media, with Jeff Gordon and Kent Hughes, said, quote, "We are very excited to add Kent Hughes to our organization. Kent is highly respected in the hockey world, having built an excellent reputation as a player agent for over 25 years now. The process of finding our new GM afforded us the opportunity to meet a number of extremely qualified candidates. Kent stood out, and we believe he is the right person to be the general manager of the Canadiens." So now the process begins in Montreal. Gordon and Hughes going forward to run the Habs.
Yeah, and as Eric said, Eric Engels joined us. If you missed it, you can catch it on the podcast. He joined us last hour to talk all things Montreal and the hiring of Kent Hughes. I do wonder, it might be too early as it is just day one on the job for Kent Hughes, but it does sure feel like it might be a one and done in terms of a full season for Dominique Ducharme behind the bench in Montreal. Yes, he has been dealt a very bad hand as that team's head coach, but I just don't know if I see him continuing into next season as the head coach in Montreal. Time will tell, obviously, and they're a team that I think a lot of people will have their eyeballs on. I mentioned the 8 seed spoken for in the Eastern Conference. One team that for sure might have some assets to sell is the Montreal Canadiens, and you do wonder how active they will be. You made a note with Eric about, you know, potential hirings that are beyond these two in that team's front office, and I certainly don't think they're done, and that press conference goes tomorrow. Montreal is not been, a year without headlines in Montreal, and it just continues, and maybe now we can start to see the flipping of the page and a 5-year commitment to both Hughes and Jeff Gorton. They're going to have more than enough time, Logan, to certainly put their fingerprints all over this team. And I do wonder if it's kind of a complete rebuild. And are we going to see some big names traded? Might not be at the deadline, but are we going to see a Brendan Gallagher traded at next year's draft? I think these are a lot of questions that we'll have answers to in the coming months.
Just to tack on our NHL news on headlines, the 2022 NHL's All-Star Last Men In candidates have been made official, one from each division, who actually winds up being two. Steven Stamkos from the Atlantic from Tampa Bay. Nazem Kadri gets in from Colorado to join the Central team. And Troy Terry, your representative from the Pacific Division. Now, Mika Zibanejad was voted in as the last man in candidate for the Metro Division. Well, however, he cannot attend due to personal reasons, so the Penguins' Jake Guentzel will take his place. So Stamkos, Kadri, Guentzel, and Terry, your four last man in candidates to join the 2022 All-Star teams.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, all four of those gentlemen are deserving. You look at the season they've all had. Kadri ranks fifth in points with 49. Troy Terry ranking sixth in goals. He obviously leads that Anaheim team with 22. Stamkos is tied for sixth in points with 46. And Jake Guentzel, seventh overall in the NHL with 20 goals. So by no means does anybody in there that shouldn't be there. We don't have a John Scott for this year's NHL All-Star Game. All deserving of being the last men in. And, nice to see Jake Guentzel get the nod over Zibanejad. Of course, Guentzel, not just a pick. He was second in voting behind Zibanejad, so that's why he gets to go in his place. And, we didn't talk much about it, but Nathan MacKinnon gets his wish. His teammate Nazem Kadri will be at the NHL All-Star Weekend in Vegas, and absolutely a deserving nod.
Quickly finishing up hockey news on headlines today. It's a game day for the Calgary Hitmen. They open a 3-game Saskatchewan road trip tonight in Regina against Connor Bedard and the Pats. Game is set for 6 p.m. Mountain Time at Brandt Center. Calgary 2-0-1 in their last three outings, coming off Sunday afternoon's 3-2 overtime loss to the Brandon Wheat Kings. Second of six regular season meetings against the Pats. Calgary leads that season series 1-0 thanks to that big 10-3 victory back in November. Will, this one going to be on our alt stream tonight. Brad Curl will have the call on sportsnet.ca/960. I'm sure the Hitmen would love another 10-3 result, but I don't think that Connor Bedard and company are going to be keen to let that happen.
Yeah, I don't think they're signing up to allow the Hitmen to score 10 goals. Should be a fun one, though, and it's too bad we don't get to see games like this broadcast. Obviously, if you've got a subscription to WHL Live, you can do so. But, it's always fun to see Connor Bedard play, and he's having a terrific season. And as Brad Curl told us, you can respect him, just don't respect him too much, because that's how you'll allow him to have too much time and space out there. Hitmen had a pretty good weekend, and they'll look to keep it going. They had a victory Saturday over Prince Albert. They lost in overtime Sunday against Brandon, and because of some COVID cancellations, this is a very busy stretch for the Hitmen. So a critical road trip. They're on the playoff bubble in the Eastern Conference right now, the seventh seed. So it's a big road trip for them, and it begins tonight in Regina.
Final story and headlines will go to the NBA, where things are getting tense around the L.A. Lakers. According to The Athletic's Bill Oram and Sam Amick, the head coach Frank Vogel's job very much in jeopardy, and is, quote, going game by game at this point. The Lakers pulled out an impressive 101-95 victory over Utah, which is good for them and good for Vogel. But as a result, since then, The team's front office has been putting increased pressure on Vogel, who won a championship with the team in 2020, but is reportedly now evaluating him on a game-to-game basis. This reached a tipping point after their 37-point loss to the Nuggets on Saturday, which had former legendary Lakers Magic Johnson tweeting out his disappointment with the team. The Lakers sit seventh in the Western Conference, Will, at 22-22. They've had injuries, roster changes, and COVID challenges with the franchise, but the front office making it clear the team's performance has not been good enough. We'll see how long Vogel lasts in the job, if it is apparently, like the report says, on a game-to-game basis.
Yeah, apparently they almost fired him the other night after a blowout loss, so certainly does feel like a guy who is on thin ice and not been the season that the Lakers wanted. Of course, Frank Vogel won the championship his first year in L.A. In that pandemic-shortened season, and then, of course, a playoff bubble in Orlando. They won the title last year, losing in the first round, and this year, as you mentioned, a 500 record. It certainly does feel like it is on thin ice for Frank Vogel, and the Lakers need to go on a massive run if he is to save his job.
Well, there you go, your Tuesday edition of headlines.
Thank you, Logan. Big Show headlines, as always, kicking off hour number three of the program, and they are brought to you by Hyatt Infinity, offering winter tire swaps from just $59.95. Book your appointment now at Calgary's original Infinity destination, Heritage Meadows Road on Luxury Lane. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll dive deep into the Flames and the Panthers, and also spin you around on a couple of big news items from the NHL, including some must-hear audio from Leon Draisaitl. Frustration is boiling over in Edmonton. That is, we continue hour three of The Big Show, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
The Big Show with Will Nault and Logan Gordon continues on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Wrapping things up, we're in the final segment of today's program. Hour three continues live from the iconic Electric and Controls downtown studio. That's what we do every single podcast. Iconic's been on board for a handful of years now. We're super happy that they are here with us every single day. Currently hiring electricians, instrumentation and telecommunication technicians, and more. Apply at iconicec.ca/careers. It's also a Calgary Flames game day. Flames and Panthers tonight from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Half capacity, no food or drink. And, you know, let's see if we can't get 9,000 people in the Saddledome this evening as Calgary plays home game number 13. We didn't talk about this earlier. Will Nault and Logan Gordon along with you. We talked briefly about it, Logo, but home game number 13 for Calgary, road game number 15 for the Panthers. The Florida Panthers have played the fewest road games in the NHL, and the Calgary Flames have played the fewest home games in the NHL. This is home game, as I mentioned, number 13 for the Flames, which is incredible. And Florida Panthers, yeah, they've played just 14 times on the road. So, kind of a weird matchup in that sense, but we know about Florida's home record. It's kind of similar to Calgary in terms of being vastly different, except for it's flipped, as the Panthers are 5-4-5 on the road this season, 21-3 at home. Calgary, while they're 4-4-4 at home, 13-7-2 on the road. So a nice little weird nugget going into this game tonight, as the team that's played the fewest games at home will play the team that's played the fewest games on the road.
Very interesting way to look at it, and a very interesting time for Florida to come into Calgary and take on the Flames, who, you know, haven't been as dominant on the road as Florida has been at home. So these home games probably mean more for Calgary than these road games mean for Florida, if you know what I'm saying. And we've talked so much, Will, and we've heard so much this last couple of days leading up to this one. Big words, you know, big statements from whether it be the head coach or Blake Coleman or Johnny Gaudreau about, you know, this team needing to step up and get their emotions in check, be ready for games at home. I know it's still not perfect. I'm not going to pretend that it is, that having, you know, less than, you know, or half capacity at the Saddle Dome is fun for anybody, not having food or drinks. It's by far, it's far and away not an ideal situation. I get that, but that can't change the fact that this Flames team needs to start winning these home games. And as Pat's alluded to on Flames Talk, you and me have talked about this a little bit, and we will more and more going forward. When that schedule comes out, the revamped one through February, you can assure yourself there's going to be a lot of home games. And if the Flames can't figure out a way to get this going at home and make the Saddle Dome a tough place to play, then there's going to be some serious questions for this group going down the road after what was a really strong start to the season. And look, it doesn't get any easier tonight. Florida was a tough team to play when you met them in Florida. They're still tough now. They might even be tougher with Reinhardt and Bennett here. But I think you need to, if you're the Flames, show that you've gotten the message that your head coach has tried to send you the last couple of days, that it's about the leaders leading, being prepared, being ready to go, and enough talk about making the Saddle Dome a tough place to play. It's time to actually go out and do that.
Of course, the offense jumps out, but Logan, what have you seen? And you mentioned being prepared and being ready from puck drop. I think that has definitely changed here for this team. I mean, early in the year, we never talked about their starts, and nor did we have issues with their starts. And lately, it seems like they haven't been as ready by puck drop. So outside of that, what's happened here in the last 10 games? And COVID's played a role. I don't think anybody is discounting that. I know head coach Daryl Sutter talked about it. This is having a different effect on almost everybody. Some players still dealing with some lingering effects from the virus. Those could stay around forever. But at the same time, you can't use that as an excuse. Just 7 goals for this team the last 4 games while allowing 20. That's good enough for my math at 5 goals against per game. The team defense has fallen off the map. They haven't gotten key saves when they needed them. All in all, like what do you see with this Flames team right now? What's been the biggest issue in your eyes?
I think they've let their mindset slip a bit, Will, that maybe they've come off of what the expectation was to start the year. And to me, that was the message from Daryl Sutter and company that, look, we don't have high offensive, high weapon or high scoring weapons that are going to score in the blink of an eye. But that doesn't mean we can't win games. So how are we going to win games? We're going to play strong defensively. We're going to work hard for our chances. We're going to, you know, outwork our opponent at every step of the game, and that's going to lead to our chances, and we're going to get goals that way. I think they've come off of that, to be frank. I think that maybe they've, you know, thought that I don't want to speak for anybody in the room. I'm not in there. I don't know. But it kind of feels like they've let those details of the game slip a bit for me, and I don't think that they're a good enough group as a whole to do that. Does that mean they're a bad group? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that they have to be on their game night in, night out. And I think that that's, since we've come back from this COVID break, really been an issue. You need to focus in on those details. Let your transition, they were so good defensively, Will, that it led to those offensive chances. They worked hard in the defensive zone, and then they went and worked hard in the offensive zone. And just because you don't do it the same way that, maybe it's not the flashiest way, maybe it doesn't get you on the highlight reel every night, but it doesn't mean it's not a successful way to play hockey. I think we saw that in the first, you know, bit of this season, that it can be a successful strategy for this group. Get back to those levels. Get back to putting it all in. Get that emotion back in your game, and I think they'll be just fine. I think that they have just let those little details of what made them successful and that level that they need to be at, it can't be at 80%, Will. It has to be at 100% for this group to succeed.
Hindsight always is 20/20. I know it was discussed a lot yesterday on Flames Talk. You and I briefly discussed it as well. Sam Bennett was in conversation with Eric Francis on Monday and mentioned that he liked the way things were going and trending under Daryl Sutter, and actually believed that there was a chance he might not get traded once Daryl Sutter came here. Obviously, he was dealt at last year's deadline to the Florida Panthers, and ever since he's been in Florida, it's been nothing but success, which has a lot of Flames fans, you know, throwing their arms in the air and wondering why that didn't happen here and if the Flames made a mistake. And I've always been in the belief and will always have this opinion, and I don't think it's going to ever change, that, you know, no matter what had happened, and yes, I know he had points in his last 6 games under center as a Calgary Flame. I just felt like it was never going to work here. He had obviously that great rookie season with 18 goals and 36 points, but there's no Jonathan Huberdeau in Calgary. He went to a great situation. We don't know ultimately what the return looks like. It ends up being essentially 2 second-round picks. Emil Heinemann is a player they drafted in the second round. And then, of course, they have the second-round pick of the Panthers at this upcoming draft in Montreal. So it's going to be a while before we see what that return is. So it is really difficult on top of all that to evaluate the trade. But no matter how this ends, and again, I think you look at his early success in Florida with 38 points in 39 games, and you're saying, you know, the Flames made a massive mistake here. I don't think they did. I really don't, because I just don't think it was ever going to work in Calgary. And part of that, yes, is that they don't have a Jonathan Huberdeau here in Calgary. He's landed in a perfect scenario, and he's made the most of it. And I also don't think, you look at that new contract in Florida, he signed a 4-year deal worth $4.4 million per season. He wasn't getting that in Calgary. He might have left, and even if they didn't trade him, he might have got plucked by Seattle in the expansion draft, to which you got nothing. And, you know, as the year has gone in Seattle, you're probably also saying to yourself that he wouldn't have had the same offensive success in Seattle and might have been the same player he was in Calgary. All those can be true, but I just look at it, Logan, and I know that some are upset, and you've got every right to be so. It's your opinion, but I just feel like it was never going to work here, and it was time for the Flames to move on from Sam Bennett.
I really agree. I think you and me have been pretty steadfast in the same boat that, look, I don't look at this as a situation that was going to go any better for Sam Bennett in Calgary. I really don't. I think that you nail it when you say it wasn't going to work the way that it's worked in Florida for him here in Calgary. And let's even put it to real names and positions. And let's put it this way. Yes, there's Jonathan Huberdeau and Anthony Duclair in Florida as the second line. Most places, including Calgary, don't play Jonathan Huberdeau on their second line. So even if he was here and you want to say, let's put him in that position to succeed, he wouldn't be ahead of Elias Lindholm, so he wouldn't be with Gaudreau and Tkachuk. He'd probably be on that line with Coleman and Mangiapane, who, great players, great two-way players, still developing, but not offensive threats like Jonathan Huberdeau. Like, they're still not that player here, even if he was to be given the second-line opportunity. So from that aspect, I don't see it working. The contract, I think you're 100% accurate on. If he doesn't have the year that he finishes off with in Florida last year, there's no way he gets that contract. The Flames wouldn't have been interested. And you put the cherry on top with the expansion draft. I don't think this is a case where you have to look at it and say, look, you know, Sam Bennett failed the Flames, or the Flames, failed Sam Bennett and missed it with this trade. It was a situation where I think both sides had given it a very good go. This was a constant topic for a couple of years with Sam Bennett, Will. It wasn't like this was a couple of weeks and this thing fell apart. This was years of discussion of Sam and where he fits in this Calgary lineup. It just didn't work. And the situations, the cards that are dealt with to, you know, make Sam successful are drastically different in Florida than they are in Calgary. And that's not a bad thing. That's just life. Appreciate that. I think Sam came here and gave it his all and tried his best to make it work here. And at the end of the day, it doesn't always work. It happens with every single team in different capacities. Is it just more of a spotlight because Sam is the highest ever draft pick in Flames history? Sure. But I guarantee you every single team in the league has a story just like that, where there was a guy that, look, it just didn't work for us here, and it went on and somewhere better. Perfect example, would it shock me if Jake DeBrusque becomes that guy for the Boston Bruins? No. So what, you're going to blame everybody there? No, it's just sometimes the situation and the timing isn't right for you in that group. I think that's what it comes down to with Sam Bennett.
Yeah, and I just feel like it's a new start. And the one thing that I do want to make perfectly clear, and you made a little bit of a mention it there, I think both sides are equal blame here. I think it didn't work because Sam Bennett didn't make the most of opportunities he got. And I also think there was times where the Flames definitely mishandled the Sam Bennett situation. So I think there's both sides that are to blame here for why it didn't work in Calgary. But yeah, I just think that you look at it and he landed in a perfect situation. And I think what's making it harder right now for Flame fans is the fact that there is very clearly a need on this team for a second line center. But the Flames don't have the depth the Florida Panthers have. And you're absolutely bang on that if Huberto was here, he'd be playing on the first line. And I don't think Sam Bennett is a guy that is the first line center here in Calgary. And all due respect to Mangiapane and Blake Coleman, they're not having the offensive seasons and haven't shown really to be the players that are the same quality as Huberto and Duclair. And Mangiapane's offensive numbers have fallen off a map, and you know, certainly we've talked a lot about Blake Coleman's offensive numbers. So I just don't think it would have worked the same, and it's, you can't draw a direct line in terms of a comparison. And to wrap things up on the Bennett conversation, I think it's going to be a really fun night, and it's too bad it can't be a full building. And you know, it's at least going to be played in front of some people, and it's not going to be in front of empty seats. But an emotional night for Sam Bennett for sure. Going to be weird to see him on the other side for not only Flame players, but also for Flame fans.
He's going
to
be jacked up tonight.
Yeah, I think he's going to be shot out of a cannon. And I think there's two ways you can go about it. I think if you're the Flames, you can maybe play that to your advantage and maybe goad him into a bad penalty or two. And at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if he had two goals and 3 points or something tonight when it's all said and done, because I just think he's going to be a player who is very fired up to play in this game tonight.
Yeah.
No pregame nap today.
He's going to be fired out of a cannon. I mean, he went on Eric Francis's show yesterday. You can tell how much this means to him. And I think there's something to that about an organization that drafted you and developed you for so long. And, you know, you've moved on. There's always going to be that. These guys are competitors. They're going to want to come back and make a good impression. And look, he's got friends on this team, and he's going to want to go out and compete. I'm excited just to see how he comes out, because I have a feeling it'll be, you know, like the nickname said, playoff Sam Bennett. I have a feeling it'll be close to that when he's skating around and causing all sorts of havoc. That's just the guy that he is when he's at his best. And I don't think it'll take much for him to get up for this one.
Couple of texts at 960-960, but the fan feedback line is always open to you. Lindholm in Calgary is not the Lindholm that was in Carolina. The Flames benefited from his change of scenery, and I think you can absolutely like that, make that argument. Do you think there's Hurricane fans that hate that trade? Yeah, yep. I can guarantee there's Hurricane fans that hate that trade. If Monahan had faded last year, Bennett would have been the natural number two center and leaving Monahan exposed. Well, I think you're fooling yourself if you don't think Monahan had faded last year. He absolutely did. And you're also fooling yourself, Logan, in my opinion, if you don't think the Flames have been trying to trade Monahan for 3 years. So I think that's, at least that's my opinion. I just think it's more telling about what Monahan's market is than anything else. I think they've been trying to trade Monahan for a while. And I'm very fascinated to see what happens this offseason with Sean Monahan. With 1 year left on his deal, can they find a taker for that, or does he get bought out? I do wonder what happens with Sean Monahan in the offseason, but the one thing that's super clear is that, you know, he has not been the same player that we have seen for a long time. I know he was banged up last year, but, you know, that's a body that's taken a lot. It's gone through a lot of surgeries, and I just don't think that we're seeing a player that's going to be in the NHL for the next 5 seasons. I think we're seeing the end of Monahan's time, and it's really unfortunate that injuries have played as big a role as they have, because he was a guaranteed in-your-sleep 30-goal scorer for the majority of his career. But, yeah, I think the Flames have been trying to move on from that player for quite some time.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And even then, based on what Bennett would have had to play with if he was given that spot as a number two center, would he have risen to expectations and to the offensive numbers on Calgary's number two line last year?
No, because Mangiapane and Coleman aren't Huberto and Duclair.
No, exactly. So. And they were in my, Coleman wasn't even here last year. They were awful all of last year. So I don't even know if he was given that opportunity in full last year that it would have had the desired impact or close to the impact that he's had in Florida. I think you're comparing things that are too different.
And then finally, Bennett needed a mental reset in Florida, which he got. And exactly. I just think it's a player who's benefited from a change of scenery. And credit to him. You know, certainly happy for Sam Bennett to have had the success he's had so far in Florida. And excited to see what he does against his former team tonight. He's got 15 goals and 23 points in 29 games this season. The red-hot Florida Panthers in town to play the Flames. Again, 6 p.m. warm-up with Steinberg and Labardius, and a 7 o'clock puck drop with Wills and Labardius. You can also watch this game on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet West this evening as the Flames play just their 13th game at home this season. And it's going to be a heavy schedule, which we haven't really talked about today, Logan, but Elliot Friedman mentioning on Twitter that expect tomorrow, if not tomorrow, probably Thursday, at the latest, but I'm starting to think it is going to be tomorrow. We're going to get a re-release of the schedule. We'll know what Calgary's remaining games will look like, what the second half of the season looks like. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of games placed in that Olympic break window, as February is going to be a very busy month for the Calgary Flames, and they're a team that's going to be playing a lot of hockey from now until the end of the season. So if anybody was wondering, and we've been wondering for a while, Elliot Friedman reporting today that the NHL is expecting to release the schedule tomorrow. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, it'll be Thursday at the latest.
I can't wait to see the February schedule come out with like 14 home games and just someone rolling out the bed in the hot stove lounge for Steinberg to get used to living at the Saddle Dome, because I think he's going to spend an awful lot of time there over the next month or so, because I just have a feeling with the amount of home games the Flames have left and probably with some of the availability, like we've heard from Saravelli and other insiders, that, you know, the Saddle Dome was one of the easier ones for the Flames to book. I have a feeling it's going to be a very heavy home schedule for this team over that Olympic break. I'm excited to see it. We've been waiting for it for a while now. We've sort of been operating on a, you know, we know up until this date, and then who knows? So it'd be nice to finally figure out what the rest of the year is going to look like.
Well, it's been, I think, going into the Olympic break, like if we're going into the season, had no canceled games and the players are going to the Olympics. I think the Flames, last check, I'd have to go back and confirm this, but I think they had two or three home games from the end of January to the beginning of March. March was always loaded with home games, but yeah, February was like a month that Flame fans would have never seen their team. So going to be a change, and I'm excited to break that schedule down and look for days off, because they're going to be limited in the month of February for the Calgary Flames. And another piece of news that we haven't really talked about, the NHL has made it official. They did so at about 3:15 today, following a meeting of the respective medical groups last week, the National Hockey League Players Association and the NHL announcing today the updates to their COVID-19 protocol. The isolation period appears to be functioning well. So the 5-day isolation period is going to continue. And the testing protocol is going to go with a massive facelift, as there's going to be no testing of fully vaccinated players and staff during the All-Star break, including participating players and staff, unless it's needed for travel or development of symptoms. And that's been the big thing, is that post-All-Star break, if you're asymptomatic, it doesn't sound like they're going to be too curious or too interested in testing. As I mentioned with Eric Engels, and what the interesting layer here is to it, Logan, is the fact that the NHL is the league that deals with the most cross-border travel. We know Canada has been way more restrictive than the United States when it comes to COVID-19. And I just wonder if that's going to be a massive disadvantage here going forward in terms of the amount players are going to have to test when playing on a Canadian team. But asymptomatic players no longer being tested post All-Star break.
I think this makes a lot of sense. You're following in the steps of the NFL and other leagues that have done this. A common sense decision, I think. You're right that there's still going to be hurdles about this with Canadian and U.S. cross-border travel that are going to have to be adapted and worked on, because those rules, I think, aren't going anywhere, unfortunately, just based on the world that we live in. But I think from a widespread look at this, a bigger picture view of this, it makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of us have wondered why the NHL didn't go down this road sooner. I'm glad they did today.
So that is, you know, the massive change. And I know that many have been talking about that for quite some time. So the NHL will finally do that post All-Star break. No more testing for asymptomatic players. Logan and I have run out of time. I'm sure the guys on Flames Talk will give you the audio as Leon Draisaitl and the Oilers. I think more frustration has come to the surface today. The Oilers are not back in action until Thursday against the Florida Panthers. They were supposed to play tonight at home against Chicago. That game has been postponed. Their next home game comes Thursday against the Florida Panthers, and not going to get any easier for the Oilers, who are 2-9-2 in their last 13 games. So they've lost three in a row, and they get the Florida Panthers on Thursday. The Florida Panthers are here tonight against the Calgary Flames. Looking forward to that. And for more on the Flames and the Panthers and more across the NHL, for Logan Gordon, my name is Will Nault. We will now hand things over to Flames Talk on a Calgary Flames game day, live from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Matty Rose and Pat Steinberg are next. Thanks to Brad Curl. Thanks to Eric Engels. And, of course, thank you to Peter Labardius. And thank you to you for listening. If you missed any of the show, subscribe now to the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Google, Apple Pods, or Amazon, subscribe now and never miss a moment. Logan and I are back tomorrow. Up next, it's Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Matty Rose. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.